Well, good morning. Steve Lawson here with Steadfast Hope, coming to you from Dallas, Texas. I'm joined by my good friend Kent Steinbach, and we have enjoyed so much being able to have these Bible studies. Each one is they're fresh, they stand alone, and today we are in Philippians 1 and verse 29. Philippians 1 and verse 29. This is intended to be simply a devotional, to put something in your heart and in your mind to help you start the day living for God and following Christ. And so the title of this devotion is Believing and Suffering. Believing and Suffering. And I want to begin by reading this verse, Philippians 1, verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. This verse tells us that two gifts have been given to us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, two gifts have been given to you. Now, many other gifts have been given, but two specifically that are designated, identified here in this verse. And they are inseparably bound together. If you receive the first gift, you're going to receive the second gift. And the first gift is saving faith, to believe in Jesus Christ. That has to be given to you to believe. And if He gives you the gift of saving faith, He also gives you the gift of suffering for Him. So let's start with the first one, believing in Christ. Paul begins verse 29. I hope you have your Bible open. You're able to follow along with me. He says, for to you, we want to ask the question, who is the you? And the you is believers only. They are those in verse 1 who are in Christ Jesus. They are those in verse 6, those in whom God has begun a good work, who will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. They are those in verse 12 who are identified as brethren. They're those who have been born again into the family of God. So verse 29, for to you, this is what follows is not true of the world. This is exclusively for believers. For to you, it has been granted. And the word granted means simply given. Something is given as a gift. You didn't work for it. It's just bestowed upon you. And it's implied here that God is the giver of this gift. In fact, at the end of verse 28, we see that too from God, salvation, that too from God. And so it's implied in the context that this, that God has granted something to you for Christ's sake, for the honor of Christ and for the glory of Christ. And he says, not only to believe in Him. Let's just stop right there. It has been given to you by God the Father to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith does not originate in yourself. No one can believe in Jesus Christ until God gives the capacity to believe. And that is God's grace gift. I want to give you four quick cross-references just to nail that down. Acts 3, verse 16 tells us that faith that is in Christ is a faith that has come through Christ. The idea, all faith in Christ has come from Christ. Christ must give us the capacity to believe in Him. And actually, it comes from the Father through Christ to us. The next verse is Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's a text I'm sure you're very familiar with. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And we would ask, what is the gift of God? What is not of yourself? And you'll notice as it's put on the screen, the closest antecedent is faith. Now, it refers to both grace and faith, but if it refers to anything grammatically, gift of God is faith that is not of yourselves, it is of God. So God provides both the grace as well as the faith to believe in His grace. The next verse is Hebrews 12, verse 2, that Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. We are to be fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus is the one who creates saving faith that is in Himself. He is the author of it. And what He authors is a faith that will never stop believing. A believer will never become an unbeliever. What He has authored, He will perfect till the very end. And then the fourth verse is 2 Peter 1, verse 1, which tells us that we have received faith. We have received a faith of the same kind as ours. This faith has been given to us by God, and we have received it and exercised it in our conversion. So, in that sense, there is no such thing as free will, that we could just believe in Christ anytime we wanted to believe in Christ. No. The Bible teaches we do not believe until we are given saving faith. And that is given to all of the elect of God. Now, there's a second gift that is given to those who believe, and it's the second half of verse 29, and it is suffering for Christ. So believing in Christ always and inevitably leads to suffering for Christ. So we continue, but also, in other words, it's a package deal, and these two are inseparably connected together, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, the word suffer here means to feel pain. And what Paul is saying to all the believers in the church at Philippi and to all believers today is that there is always a price to pay for believing in Jesus Christ. It works out in different ways, in different degrees, in different measures, for different Christians, depending on a lot of different factors, where you are, where you live, how visible you are as you're identified with Christ. But nevertheless, no one receives a free pass in this world who is a believer for Christ. There will be tribulation that we will suffer for being a Christian, whether it is being rejected by our own family members, whether it's being rejected by in-laws, whether it is being passed over for a promotion, whether it is suffering a divorce or been abandoned by an unbeliever, whether it is you actually receive insults from people, whether it is loss of job, all of the way to, for some, it is loss of life. Wherever it is in this wide spectrum, nevertheless, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me repeat that verse. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And he says here, to suffer for His sake. That is to say, for the name of Christ. I think sometimes we suffer for our own sake, just for our own mistakes and for our own wrong choices, for our own offensive way that we come across to certain people. This is talking about suffering for His sake because of your witness for Christ, because of your testimony for the Lord, because of the way that you conduct your business. That there is some measure of suffering that you undergo as you pay this price. I mean, look at Paul as he writes this very book. He's in prison in Rome. He's paying a price. Now, we probably will not end up in prison, though right now around the world there are believers in prison. Look at our brothers in China and our sisters in China. There are many who are imprisoned and have been beaten because of their witness for Christ. There are those in the Middle East who are paying a price for being a believer in Christ. In the front of my preaching Bible, I keep a picture of John Rogers, who was the first martyr burned at the stake by Bloody Mary. 1555 is a reminder to me there's a price to pay for being a witness for Christ. So to one measure or another, we all have a price to pay. This is not intended to put anyone on a guilt trip or anything. It's just reality. It's just fact of life. And Kent, it actually becomes a part of assurance of salvation that if you're not receiving some resistance for your faith, it should be cause for concern. Do I have faith in Christ? Because where the one gift is given, the other gift is also given. And you may ask, so why is that a gift that you would be given to suffer? Well, we know that it has a positive effect in our spiritual life. It's a sanctifying effect. It weans us off of this world. It prepares us for the world to come. Helps us identify with people who are suffering. So it's a gift that God uses for our good. So we can't try to run away from it. It's a part of the Christian life. So, Ken, I hope we've got some questions.
Question. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, obviously, the suffering. And yeah. What comes to our minds are obviously those being burned at the stake or are taken away by the government or mm-hmm. just a lot of suffering. What are the different levels? Or can you just give us, I know you've mentioned some, maybe a little bit more. There are different levels of persecution mm-hmm. or suffering, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Not all suffering is the same.
What would an example be, if you could give a few examples mm-hmm, for us? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesus gives three examples.
Okay.
In Matthew 5 and verse 11, he said, "Blessed are you when people insult you." So that's a verbal persecution. And then he adds, "and persecute you." And the idea there, the word study, is the kick in your teeth.
Wow.
And there is a physical harm that you suffer. It might be a financial suffering. It might be a bodily suffering. It might be being cut off.
Being left out of a group.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Not invited to participate.
Yeah. And I think that may be a part of the next where it says, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And but yes, you're ostracized from your old circle of friends. You're not invited over to the house or whatever. And so it's like a stair step effect. It starts at one level and it can build and escalate. Mm-hmm. And it can be worse in some countries than in others, and worse in some parts of the country than in others. And I think if you're a preacher, you're a pretty big target. And if you're sitting on the back pew, you may not be as noticeable of a target. There's a lot of different factors that, mm-hmm. that come into play.
Another question is, should we pray for persecution? I know some Christians believe we should put ourselves in situations maybe to be persecuted. But that's the question. Should we pray for persecution?
I think that's an imbalanced perspective. I don't think you have to go looking for persecution. It'll come and find you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a martyr spirit, an mm-hmm. unhealthy martyr spirit, mm-hmm. that in some way you think that this is spiritual for you to be beat up by the world or someone else. And if you're going to look for it, I think that that's more of a self-centered, self-absorbed approach to this. So I would not urge anyone to pray for this. I think it's going to find you if you'll just live a godly life.
Mm-hmm. We have time for one more.
Yeah, of course we do. Of course we.
The question is, how can we recognize? Hold on. How can we recognize and discern, or to know if what's happening to us is persecution? And there was another question right before that that said, is it because, can persecution be because we're ungracious in the way we act?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, probably that's the question if you put these two together. Are we being persecuted simply because of the way we're acting?
Yeah.
Or is it really true persecution?
Yeah. I think a lot of flack that some believers receive is simply because they're very ungracious in the way they talk to people.
And not loving?
And not loving, yeah. And unkind. And they bring it on themselves.
Okay.
And I don't think there's any reward for that.
Sure.
I think true persecution is when it's like it says here, for his sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we are speaking up for Christ, because we are living as Christ would have us to live.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of that is being long-suffering and patient, even mm-hmm. with unbelievers,
mm-hmm.
and turning the other cheek,
mm-hmm.
and going the second mile with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And exposing ourselves to them, opening ourselves up to them in a way that they could easily come back at us. But it's not because we've been, I put it this way, needlessly abrasive. In that case, I think you've done it to yourself. And there's no reward in that. But think of how Christ was before Pilate. Think of how Christ
wow.
was before Caiaphas.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how Christ was as he hung upon the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
How just long-suffering he was. We are to be that way with unbelievers and not be hurling invectives against them. Well, I know we need to wrap this up. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll be in another text here in the book of Philippians, and I hope that you'll be able to join with us. We simply desire God's best for your life. And as you start this day, wherever you are, though, I got an email yesterday from India. It's 6 p.m. there, wherever you are around the globe. May God use you this day as a witness for him, knowing that there will be some suffering that will come with that. God bless you.